Now, whew, these contraptions. You can tell when someone's older, I tell you. I do thank God for this church and the faithfulness of it through the years. I don't know how many have been here for a long, long period of time, but I can tell you years ago, you actually considered my father to pastor this church. Years and years ago. And when he was, and you even said that he could still be the general director of the Association of Churches in Michigan and pastor the church here. And so that was years ago, and that, of course, wasn't what the Lord had, but it was many, many years ago. And we're thankful that Aaron's here. We were looking forward to seeing what God had for him in his life. I've met your pastor. I don't know him real well. I've met him before. But as my son's was applying here, of course, and I made sure that he'd be going to a place, thinking of a place here where the pastor preaches and exposits God's word. And you have a wonderful, I do not know him, so I'm going to speak out of reputation. You have a wonderful pastor that I've nothing but heard but great things about his exposition and handling of the word of God and his countenance and spirit. And so you have a wonderful man you can follow in the word of God as you together meet together and make disciples. And so I trust that this morning as we look into God's word, that we might take the truth and apply it in our lives. Let me just ask you a question before we even get started. Do you believe that the copy of scriptures that you have in front of you right now really is the word of God? Now I know the answer. But now I'm going to follow it up with, do you really? Do you really that you realize you have a copy of the Word of God that we can know exactly what God is thinking this morning? And if it means that much to you, you will look at it, you will see the truth of it, and you apply it and live it in your lives. But not only that, you will spend time in it. And so one of the things that I, as I was going to be coming here, and I was just praying, Lord, what would you have me give that we might encourage the folks at First Baptist Sterling Heights this morning? And I thought, you know something? Everyone likes to have joy in their heart. There's not one here that, oh, I just can't wait to be sad. I'm waking up this morning and I'm just looking forward to just pouting all day. I hope everything happens to me bad so I can pout more. And so I thought, what an opportunity that we have together as we look in Scripture this morning that all of us together might imply and apply a wonderful truth of God's Word, and that's living in the fullness of joy. Do you want to live in the fullness of joy? Do you really want to live in the fullness of joy? Well, there's a passage of Scripture here amongst many others, but this morning if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And as we look at Scripture this morning, we want to take the truths of God's Word and we want to look at how we can live in the fullness of joy. I believe that as we see in verse number 11 here, Scripture tells us that these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Think of that. That your joy may be full. It says that my joy may be in you. Think of Jesus Christ as saying to his disciples and those listening to him around, and he's saying, these things I've spoken unto you. And you'll see there'll be different words that are talking about the Word of God as we go through the passage. Some of them is the word that we might call Ramada or Rhema, which are the individual spoken words of God that make up the very Logos, the Word of God. And here he simply tells us that these things I've spoken unto you. What are the things he's talking about? Well, he's talking about the first 10 verses, for sure, in its own context. So he says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be what? You can all read. What? Let's say it together. In you. That only comes, of course, as we're going to look and see more, is by you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, that we can see that our joy can be in you. But even as a believer, you cannot have the joy of Christ. When you let different things rule and reign in your heart and life, of course, it can't continually do that as a believer in Christ. But here Christ simply saying to his disciples, I've got, in essence, he knows exactly what he's got in store for the disciples. Aren't you glad the disciples didn't know exactly what was all in store for them? But he knew exactly what he was saying. He says, I've spoken to you, and you're going to be going through an awful lot, and so I want you to know that my joy is going to be in you, so that what? So that your joy may be full, because I've got some great things for you. Do you believe God has some great things for you? I hope you do. Because you have the Spirit of God in your life. And he's going and trying to encourage the disciples here and realize there's going to be a lot for him and for them to do when he leaves and gives them the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in their hearts and life and direct them and guide them into all truth. And so as we see this wonderful truth of Spirit, we realize that joy, as one man put it, is an unexpected gift growing out of an intimate relationship with the one we love and serve. Joy simply is an inner peace, and it's not based on circumstances. It's an inner peace that just has that inner peace without involved in the circumstances. If we involve circumstances, that would be called being happy. Happenings based on circumstances. But joy is really the deep, abiding confidence, regardless of our circumstances, that we have that Jesus Christ really is in control of everything in our lives. Do you believe that this morning? If we really believe that, I believe that there will be a different response in our lives. Our joy will be full. And he comes and gives us several characteristics and traits here of if you live this in your life, you'll experience and you'll manifest a joy that's full. Because notice he says that might be in you and that your joy may be full. His joy in you. And what else could his joy be in you but that which is full? We can go out of here this morning being full of joy. And so as we look at it, we take this passage of Scripture and realize that Jesus is instructing his disciples really on three vital relationships. Here in verses 1 through 10 that we'll be looking at this morning, the disciples are talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verses 11 through 17, it's a relationship with each other. And then in verses 18 through chapter 16 and verse 4, you'll see it's the relationship to the world. But the disciples really have three responsibilities in this chapter: to remain, to love each other, and to testify. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, we realize the main thrust in this passage is the branches and the fruit bearing. And so we'll look at really the source of this fullness of joy and then the substance of it as we look at how we can live in the fullness of joy. How can I live in the fullness of joy? Look with me in verse number first, where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5 tells us that I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Notice he says, I am the true vine, or I am the real vine. That means by him saying that, speaking to his disciples who were good Jewish folks, that would have known what? The Scriptures and the Old Testament. And he says, I am the true vine. That means that there was another vine there, but it wasn't the true one. What would that have been to the disciples? What would they have thought of when Christ was trying to teach them? Because he's simply saying, I am the true vine. I'm not just vine. I am the true vine. Well, we'll see and understand that as the true vine, Christ is really contrasting himself with some other vine. And the Old Testament portrays Israel as God's vine. And he now comes and says, I am the true vine. If you'll follow me through this, and we'll do it real quickly because we do want to take the main portion of this with our passage this morning, but I want to show you the truth that he's saying here that I am the true vine. Look at Psalm chapter 80 real quickly, if you can get there, and I'll read fast, and we'll try to see this truth that God's trying to develop, Christ is trying to develop. But in chapter 80, in Psalm chapter 80, starting verse 7, the Bible says, Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. What was the vine out of Egypt? They were out of Egypt. They came. It would have been Israel. Thou hast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it. This cause it to deep root, and it filled the land. Look down to verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burnt with fire, it's cut down. And we see down in verse 19, Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, and look and read with me and follow along with me in verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5. And Scripture then talks again about this vine. As Isaiah says, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built tower in the midst of it, also made a winepress thereof. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O habitant of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth, what's it say? Wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to thy vineyard. I will take away an hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of the host is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Now turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, we come to the New Testament. And God gives another parable. Or Christ gives another parable in Matthew chapter 21. And look with me at verse 33. And Scripture says, Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did to them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. Sound familiar? But when the husbandmen saw thy son, they said among themselves, This is heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize in his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what shall he do with the husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him unto the fruits of their seasons. And Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in Scriptures, The stone which the builders reject, some has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever shall fall, it will grind him powder. And then we come now back to John chapter 15, where Christ is saying, I'm the true vine. You see, he's the true vine, and it's the Lord is, look what it says, my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser, or the one who takes care of the vineyard, takes care of it all. And he says, I'm the true vine. And the Lord, it's talking about relationship with the vine and the branch. And so this whole passage of Scripture really gives us a relationship between that vine and the branch. Any believer must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that you become that branch by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And you then are starting a relationship with Him. Did you know that that's exactly what Jesus Christ, what God created the whole world for? To have a relationship with mankind. And you're sitting there, you're the very ones that He wants to have a relationship with. And so He goes with His disciples and say, I'm sending you out. In fact, we see the very truth as He goes and tries to teach them some about this wonderful relationship that they need to have and grow with Him as He cultivates, as it's being cultivated. He will be the true vine and not disappoint the Father. In fact, as we think of it, you think of the very truth that our identity, where it says, without me he can do nothing. Notice in verse number 5, he says that in our identity with him, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So he's talking about as a relationship with Christ, we will have fruit and more fruit and much fruit. That sounds like a growth to me. That sounds like a responsibility in relationship. That you and I are responsible as believers in Christ to have a wonderful relationship with him. Some 30, 60, 100 fold. That as you grow, you might grow in that grace and that knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you'll bring forth, as a believer, did you know a believer will bring forth fruit? By his fruit ye shall know them. We don't have time to go into that passage. But you as a believer must have a relationship with Christ. And in that relationship, you will bring forth fruit. As a believer in Christ, it is impossible for you not to bring forth fruit. Now, you can have a gap in that relationship because of not having a relationship, not having that fellowship with Him where sin breaks that fellowship, but not that relationship as far as in salvation. You see, the true branches, they follow. They're the redeemed. And their condition really is to bear fruit. It is the will of God that every branch brings forth fruit, so we must abide in Him. In fact, we realize that the very process, notice he says that without me ye can do nothing. The Father gave certain words to us, and Christ spoke only what the Father spoke to him. Listen to what Scripture says. John 8:26, I have many things to say and to judge you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world through those things which I've heard of him. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And so the Father spoke to Jesus Christ. The Son faithfully expounded what the Father taught him. And then these words that Jesus gave to us from the Father, Jesus said that they are spirit and they are life. And that new life in Christ, it says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then what happens to that relationship, then we appropriate those words, with obedience, and that brings forth fruit. God, Heavenly Father, gave the words to Jesus Christ, of whom He only spoke what His Father said, and they two are one. And He gives it to us, and what happens to us in a relationship by our faith in Christ Jesus is we now appropriate all that the Word of God has given us, all that He's given us, the truth, by obedience. And He goes on to really show us about His what He spoke. In fact, a little bit later, you'll see in a slide here that He will, where God spoke His word with a period, you and I cannot put a question mark. Where God spoke His word with a period, you and I can't put a question mark. Why do we say that? What are we talking about? It's talking about, it's easy for us to rationalize, isn't it? Oh, so-and-so did this, and he was wrong, so we rationalize. But when we look at God's word, we got to realize, where did God put a period? We can't be putting a question mark. And you'll see that as we go further through here this morning, because we'll see that the very first thing that we look at in His word is by fruitfulness. By our very fruitfulness, we will have the fullness of joy, because without me, ye can do nothing. And so as we realize, look what the scripture says then, by that fruitfulness in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Well, we see, first of all, the fruitfulness is the result of the Son's life being produced in a disciple. Fruitfulness is a result of God's life being produced in a disciple. What is fruit? Many times we think we've been told, honestly, I think many times we've been told a bill of goods, the only way you have fruits is if you don't lead someone to the Lord, you're out of God's will. I believe Scripture tells us there's many, many different things that bring forth fruit. And one of those is answered prayer. You'll see that in verse 5 and 7. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. We also see that's the conversion of lost people. Romans 1, 13 through 15 tells us that. And the conversion of lost people, of telling people about Christ. Paul's burden was that people would be saved. And so we realize and ask ourselves a question, how are you contributing to that? Are you contributing through the giving of the Great Commission as you support those around the world? Are you praying for the lost and for salvation? Are you not only witnessing in prayer, but are you giving? Are you living it for those around? If we do what's right, God's Great Commission will blossom and we'll see changed lives. It's not just telling someone about Christ, it's living Christ. It's giving. And so if you have a fruit in your life, you'll have answered prayer. Fruit will be one where you'll see people saved, whether in foreign fields or in here or someone else, as we pray, and loved ones. And don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on your lost loved ones and your lost friends that you work with. Don't ever give up. Keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, because who's the one that saves? God, you're just the instrument that can bring forth fruit in your life, and you'll see that. It's also fruitfulness by we see the fruit of the Spirit. It's also the conduct where really John talks to us. Really, the scripture talks about in Colossians that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's offering praises to God, communicating praise to Him. Hebrew tells us, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So let's look as we think of fruitfulness. Do you want your joy to be full this morning? Then you be fruitful. You bring forth fruit, much fruit and more fruit. And we see the different ways which that's been done. But secondly, look at verse number three, what it says. Now ye are chosen through the word which I have spoken to you. So how can I have the fullness of joy in my life? By God's word in us. By God's word in us. The word is instrumental in believers' initial cleansing and salvation, as we see it there. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. It's also another word where we see the word purging later. Same word. Clean, purged. The word is instrumental in believers' initial salvation. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we see that the word is instrumental in believers' continual purging, pruning, and cleansing in our lives. The word of God, where it puts that period, we can't be putting a question mark. And so as the word of God shows us that, it says in, as it's a sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And so the word of God must be really part of your life. This morning, as I look at this truth in this passage, one of the biggest problems I have of really coming forth and giving you this passage is when I preached this at our church, it took me 2 Sundays. And so we're going to be here a long time this morning. You know what I want to get across? Our joy can be full through fruitfulness, but letting the Word of God abide in us. Folks, you need to spend time in God's Word. I'm not talking about just reading the Word. I'm talking about taking the Word of God and making it real in your life. And if you treasure it like Scripture tells us to, you won't miss a day because you'll need it. Because if you want your joy to be full, the Word of God will be in you. You go around your daily life and have you ever felt mean? I have. I don't know if I'm the only one. But you know, there's some of those days you get up and inside you just feel like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just feel like, I feel mean. And you know what that means? I'm going to be mean to who? My best friend. I don't want to do that. I love her. And so what happens that I have to do? I've got to make sure I get in the Word of God. Because you know, I really have a hard time being mean when I'm in the Word of God. When it so saturates my heart and my mind, I have a hard time, because the Scripture tells us, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Its result is the Word of God will make a difference in your life. And if the Word of God's making a difference in your life, guess what? The Word of God's going to make a difference in this church. Because it's God's Word. So how much time do you spend in God's Word? How important is that? Well, I've always heard that. Well, slow down. You know, sometimes they say, well, you got to read through the Bible the whole in 1 year's time. Slow down. Why don't you just read a few verses and get something out of it and look at the God of the universe of who gave us the Word and find out how He wants you to live that day. And guess what? You have the God's Word. You're going to forget a lot of it. Write something down and forget not all your benefits, and you will have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Even through bad circumstances. Remember what we said joy was? An inner peace, regardless of the circumstances. And you'll have that joy if you're fruitful and you abide in God's Word. It's imperative that we stay in God's Word, because the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God that we know as He talks to us and guides in our hearts. He can officially talk to us And we need to know who he is. I was in the Sunday school class of worship and talking about worship and what worship really is, a definition that I have studied and that I've seen through different ones that I've read. I've thought of worship as an adoring response to who God is, what he says, and what he does. It's a giving, it's a response, it's an adoring response. So I need to know who he is. And I can only know that through God's word being in me. Notice he says, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Do you think there's any doubt why God put that in there? So to let you know these things I write unto you that your joy may be full? There's no doubt. Because this is what's clean in you. And the joy will be full. You see, a people controlled by the word of God will make a difference. Are you controlled by the word of God this morning? We need to get the word of God out of our Bibles and into our hearts. And then as you look with me, you'll see the words of the Bible of God's written are dwell in believers. We need to study and meditate on it. And then we see in verses 4 through 7, by abiding in Christ. Look what it says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear forth fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can we, except we abide in him. Verse 6, if a man abide not in him, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered, men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. We don't have this time this morning to go into that verse to show it, but I will just tell you what I believe it's talking about. It's talking about professed believers. Because who would he be talking to here? He'd be talking to his disciples. How many disciples did he have? 12 disciples. And one of them was a disciple by the name of Judas. And I believe he's probably talking to him here, as we see, really referring to professions of faith, but probably referring to Judas also. Very well could be. And so we realize that this abiding in Christ, the word abide really describes something that remains where it is. It continues in a fixed state and endures. In fact, a good word that you might be able to say, abiding in Christ, sometimes our English words don't really describe or define words well enough to really the word that was used in the New Testament language. And we see probably a good way to put in this with the idea of this abide or remaining would be maintaining a condition that already exists. You know Jesus Christ, your Savior? Okay, you have a relationship with him. Abiding in him, you have a relationship with him. So you are maintaining that relationship that already exists and that it might grow. In fact, we see that it must have a vital connection to that vine, that remaining, that getting hold of his word and obeying them will bring that production. Well, another word to really one preacher I was listening to, a man by the name of Mark Minnick, said that a good definition of remaining or abiding is obey. Now you're going to see obey coming again in this passage of Scripture where he reiterates it to show the disciples how strong it is and how important it is to have these truths in our lives so that our joy might be full. We not only by God's word in us, but the abiding, Christ abiding in me and I in you. In other words, you abide in Christ and allow or let him to abide in you. Maintain that which, in other words, obey by doctrines, imitate by example, exercise your faith. It's simply a constant moment by moment decision to follow Christ. Have you ever come up with those certain things that happens? And you just wonder, something a little different. We'll find out what God's word says. That you might maintain that relationship that Christ has in store for you. A closeness. Think of the disciples now. Remember, he's talking to disciples. He's saying, I want you to remain, abide in me, allow, maintain that which I'm teaching you. I've got some great things for you. And you can live in the fullness of joy as these things that I have in store for you. He didn't tell them that most of them would die because of faith in Christ. That's why their joy had to be in who? Christ. And so as we see this wonderful truth, we see that abiding in Christ is simply a maintaining an unbroken relationship with Jesus Christ that already exists. It's appropriating God's word with obedience. It's bringing forth fruit. Where we mentioned before, it's where God spoke his word with a period. We can't put a question mark. And so we see then that as we go further, and you'll see in verse number 7, look what it says going into verse 8. If we abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye might bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Notice it says, herein is my Father what? Glorified. But in verse 7 it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You want your fullness of joy? You'll see it by answered prayer. And making sure that your life is one that is clean, so that you might be able to see that answered prayer. Notice he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask and you'll receive. There's a condition. You abide by God in his word and by him and maintain who he is and call him by name. You'll delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you desires of your heart. That delight will be nothing but his person and who he is. And so we realize that living in joy is by answered prayer. Tell me, isn't it a joy when you see answered prayer? Won't your joy be full? I'm sure that's happened here. It's happening all over in churches. But we had a young lady, only 25 years of age, have cancer. I think third, fourth stage. It was 25 years old. Today, according to the tests, she's cancer-free. I tell you what, by me telling you that, I'm getting chills up my spine. God answered that prayer. I really get tired when I hear someone say, that's a believer. I beat cancer. No, God does those things. And it's only God. And his will might be not the same. There was a missionary that I've known in our church support when I was here at the camp and the church up there in Houghton Lake. There was a missionary that had mad cow's disease. No one's ever survived from it. He's living today and still being a missionary and being faithful. His missionary partner's wife had cancer. A few months later, God promoted her into glory. We don't understand many of those things, do we? But what we do is in that faith in Christ, we abide in him and we realize that God will answer prayer. You're saying, but so-and-so hasn't, it just doesn't seem they're changing. God, and you're praying that God might speak to their hearts, but they're not changing, not making the right decisions. How do you know that prayer's not being answered? God probably is speaking to that person. That person's just saying what? No, I don't want it, Lord. Conviction. And if you continue to pray and be consistent and don't give up, you'll realize that answered prayer will be a joy in your life, along with opportunity to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For the reason for unanswered prayer comes to those who are controlled by sinful, selfish desires. That through the living of a life, we see through glorifying God. You know what glory is? It's simply an express exhibition of the excellencies of Jesus Christ. Think of that. Glory is the expressed exhibition in your life. You're expressing, you're exhibiting what? The excellencies, the very character of God. Now, the greatest theme in the universe, the glory of God, and to live a life that brings God's glory is a believer's highest privilege and duty. Think of that. Folks, I don't know where you are in your Christian life this morning, but God wants you to glorify Him in everything. And think of what you get to do. You as a believer, different than the whole world, you as a believer get to express the excellencies of Christ. You get to show the word really came from, it came from a word that we give, I am thinking. And the word I am thinking became known as opinion. So a simple other definition really is you manifest the right opinion of God. That's how you glorify God. In other words, you simply know the truth of God and you want to show the right opinion of God so you live or act like God. That's glorifying God. Example, let's go with sports. I enjoy sports. My whole life I enjoyed it. Now, those different sports that I played, Christ didn't play them. So how do I act like God? Well, how would he have played them? Would he abide by the rules? Yep. Would he have complained? Nope. That's a big one I got to work on. Folks, when you show the right opinion of God, you're glorifying him. The Bible says we fall short of that. We fall short of the glory of God. That's sin. You say, well, I can't act like God. Now you're starting to understand what sin's about. You only can through Christ that strengtheneth you. For all of sin comes short of his very glory, the very opinion of God. And so we see then in verse 9 how we can experience God's love. It's the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. For the Son to love us in the same way that he loves his Father means we receive the greatest love possible. Do you realize that this morning? We should continue in his love because the love which he shows for us is unchanging. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It's his love that constrains me, not my love. It's his love that constrains me. As we then see the very truth about you and I see what love's mandate is, and that's that obedience. For that's what brings blessing, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then we see Christ as our model. We are abiding in Christ's love by obeying his commands, just as he obeyed his Father's commands. If we do so, we will experience daily the joy of obedience to our Lord. So we live in the fullness of joy by fruitfulness, by God's word in us. Let me ask you, are you being fruitful? Do you see fruit in your life? Is God's word abiding in you? I mean, is God's word in you? Is Christ abiding in you? Are you maintaining that which already exists, obeying him? Do you see answered prayer in your life? Are you living a life that glorifies God? When you were a child and you obeyed your dad, mom, and there's a joy. And when your children obey you, what a joy that brings. You don't think that's a joy that brings Christ when you obey him? And notice we say that my joy will be in you. And he joys when we live like him, when we experience his love and then manifest it. Because he says, I love you, and you then what? Love me. As we obey and keep his commandments. 1 Peter 1:8 says, and through you, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Do you want God's joy in your heart this morning? Are you living in the fullness of his joy? Or are you really have a countenance that is sad? Are you living in foolish joy? You know, I've heard it said many times, boy, a new Christian that gets saved or a new person that just gets saved, don't get them around a Christian that's been there saved for 10, 15 years. He'll lose his joy and his excitement about his Savior. That shouldn't be said. They should say, I want him around those, because they'll bring that excitement. Are you excited about your salvation this morning? He told the disciples, Christ told the disciples, here's the fullness of joy. My joy, the very joy of Christ, can be in you, every one of you, that by faith have trusted him. And how can this joy be full? By bringing forth fruit, more fruit and much fruit. By answered prayer. By abiding in him, by obeying him, by loving him, by letting the word of God be richly dwelling in among you, and by glorifying him, showing the right opinion of God. So do you have the fullness of joy? And when you start having that lapse, do you let the Spirit of God say, okay, this is what comes in? The problem is, when you say those things, oh, don't preach to me. don't do this, because I might have to change. Don't you want the fullness of joy? The joy of Jesus? That we might be real, because he's instructed us that we can have his joy. And we can be full, complete. And you know, I believe this church will make a difference in the community. Your life at your job place will make a huge difference. This week, with this I close, this week, we flying over here, there was a lady in our row, and I always am one that, whether they like it or not, you got to understand, I'm now for the last over 13 years lived in New England, so I do get a lot of not friendliness, okay, let's put it that way, or unfriendliness, but boy, I just still talk to people, and the lady was sitting next to my wife, and I leaned over and says, hi, my name's Mark Love, and what's yours? I just said hi to her. She said hi, gave me her name, and got Brenda's name. Just chatted for, I bet you, not even a minute or two. Started talking to her, and she looked at me and says, you're a minister, aren't you? I'm sitting there going, yes. In other words, what testimony did I blow now? I don't know what it was. I couldn't tell you. But the lady saw something. She said some things, what she saw. But that's the fullness of joy that all of us have. That really should be seen. It really should be. That fullness that people want. You have. And he gives it to it right here. As we just abide in him. And he in us. That our joy will be complete. Lord Jesus, thank you for